straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today, my very special guest is Chida Warren Darby. Chida is one of the youngest black publishers in the country. She's the managing editor of Voice and Viewpoint that's published right over in the college area nearby here. And she's a writer by day, but she also finds the time to volunteer as an advocate for women affected by the horrors of domestic violence. She is a domestic violence survivor herself, and on October 14th, Chida will continue her fight for justice by participating in the YWCA's Walk a Mile in Her Shoes rally and walk to raise awareness and honor the survivors of abuse. Chida, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. It's a pleasure to be here.
So can you start by telling us a little bit more about the march? It's October 14th. Where is it going to take place?
Yeah, so this is the YWCA's 10th anniversary of hosting this event. The march, as you stated, is October 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 4th Avenue and K Street. And they will be walking a mile in honor of domestic violence survivors and to get more information out about the topic and encouraging people to help.
Is there a website?
Yes, you can visit www.ywcasandiego.org.
Now, this is not your usual walk, folks. People aren't out there in their running shoes trying to see how far they can go.
Right, right.
Tell us what the premise is here.
So the interesting thing about this particular walk is that they are encouraging men to come out and walk in high heels, kind of playing on the whole premise of walking a mile in her shoes. And so in the past, we've seen a lot of men come out in support of advocating against domestic violence and putting on high heels, and they are very uncomfortable, but a lot of them stick it out. They walk that mile in high heels to show that they're with women. Yes, they do it, and they press through it. Some of them have taken off their shoes halfway through the walk, but just the thought that they are standing in solidarity with other women and men about the topic.
Build a little bit of empathy.
It does, yes, yes.
Yeah. Now, on a more serious note, domestic violence is unfortunately something that you're familiar with firsthand. And
yes.
I know that for many women, it's really difficult to get out of these situations. You marry Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
He seems great when you're dating, and all of a sudden, you know, he turns into Jekyll and Hyde.
Right, right.
What were the first signs? I mean, in your relationship, when did you first become aware that something was wrong?
I think the first signs were the isolation. I am from San Diego, and upon getting married, relocated to the city that he was in, and didn't have any close family or friends nearby. And so there was this whole mindset to reinforce the fact that I really didn't need anybody else. He was the only person that I needed, and just became an antisocial situation. And so that was one of the first flags for me. Of course, I just thought he just wanted me to himself, and this is so precious, you
right.
know. But being young and not really informed on the topic, or really understanding that there were signs or that there were things happening, kind of left me in a bad situation to have to end up finding out that I was in an abusive relationship when I was first hit.
So this was not just mental abuse, as bad as that can be,
right.
or psychological abuse. This was actually physical abuse.
Yes, yes. It turned into a very physically abusive relationship. It was financially abusive for a large part of the relationship early on. Relocating to another city, I wasn't able to find work. And so I depended on him financially. And so, you know, if I didn't do something that he wanted, you know, money was taken away from me, or he would give it back. And so I kind of had to deal with that. I wasn't allowed to drive his vehicle. That would happen often. And so it definitely ended up turning into a physically abusive relationship. And he would kind of escalate the tactics based on my cooperation within the relationship.
So he hit you. Was it bad enough that you had to have medical treatment or call law enforcement?
No, I would have to call law enforcement. There were several incidences where the police were phoned. There were physical bruising. Physical bruising was present in some of these cases. Mostly a lot of things will be broken in the home. So unfortunately, we couldn't have a house where there were nice pieces of art, you know, vases, picture frames. A lot of those things were broken. And so when you would come into our house, it was just bare walls and furniture. It kind of looked like a prison cell.
That had to be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
And you felt powerless? The obvious question people would ask is, why didn't you just walk out the first time he knocked you around?
I asked myself that question. Because I hadn't seen any signs early on, I genuinely felt that he was sorry for what had occurred the first time. And so, of course, there was a lot of, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. I don't know what happened. And so I believed him. I chose to believe what happened. And so I didn't have anywhere else to go. I was on the other end of the country, you know, away from my family. And I felt that I could change the situation. Maybe if I listened more, if I was more responsive.
So very typical victim response. You blamed yourself.
I did, yeah.
Instead of him.
Right, I did. I blamed myself. And I was in my early, mid-20s at the time. And so excited about being a new wife and looking forward to starting a family. So this was a curveball.
And you had children. You have children.
Yes, I have children. We had two children from the relationship. And so that ended up being an interesting thing in itself to now bring children into a volatile situation.
So what finally was the wake-up call? What gave you the courage, a young mother with two very young children, to leave?
I think it was one of the last few episodes where there was some physical altercation, and Seeing the oldest of my two young sons take his baby brother, who was still in diapers, and walk him out of the room to sit him on the couch to watch cartoons. And they were in the room while we were fighting, and they saw me being thrown around the room and thrown up against the wall. And so just to see a three-year-old at the time take his one-year-old brother and just say, come on, let's go, and just casually just walk him out the room instead of reacting like, oh my God, my mom's being hit. He was so used to it, you know.
Yeah, and you're to what was happening.
Yeah, and I said, I can't let this be his norm. I can't do that. Yeah.
Well, good for you for finally doing the right thing and protecting the kids, too, because some abusers can, it can escalate.
Yes, it can. Yeah. Yes, yes.
You've told me a story about when you were in the hospital after you had your second child?
My first child. Yeah. I had inadvertently been reporting the abuse to my OBGYN, and she had made notations in my chart, which I didn't realize she was doing. And so after delivery, we were in the hospital, and my ex-husband left to go to the car. And so when he left, there was a woman from the nearby shelter who had been called after getting information on my chart. And she came into the room with her card, and, you know, I thought she was there to check on the baby. I thought it was a wellness check. And she said, no, you know, take this card, call us if you need us. And I, you know, casually brushed it off. And I said, no, we're fine. You know, and she just looked at me with a straight face and said, please keep this card. And so I held on to it. About a year later is when I actually ended up using the card. It took about a year.
So you went into a shelter when you left?
Yes, yes. They placed me in some, it was like alternative housing. It was a hotel. The actual shelter was full. But I stayed there for probably almost 2 months until I could find housing, and I had my one-year-old.
What was that like? How much help and support was there? Or were you just kind of on your own other than having a place to stay?
Yeah, I was kind of on my own because I had, in the midst of this abusive marriage, I had left and returned so many times. And so this last time that I returned, my son was one, and I had just kind of said, I'm not going to let anybody run me out of this place. I'm going to stay. If abuse happens again, I'm going to stay put, and I'm going to keep my job. I'm not going to lose another job because that happened. And I had some friends, but some of the things that victims of domestic violence worry about is when they do tell a friend or a loved one about what's going on, and that person is then confused and saying, why are you still there? They stop talking. And so I ran into the place where I kind of had stopped talking. And so a lot of it I had to do on my own. And at the time, my mother was ill. with cancer back here in San Diego. So I couldn't call home and talk about what was going on. I don't want to add that stress.
It had to be so difficult.
It was very difficult, yeah.
Well, we're all very glad that you finally got out of there and got in a safe place. Yes, and now you're a very successful young woman and a publisher of, of an important newspaper, Voice and Viewpoint.
Thank you.
Which, by the way, where can people find Voice and Viewpoint?
We are located all over San Diego County, actually. We service the African-American and African demographic here. We like to say we report news from an African-American perspective, so our newspaper is for everyone.
Very good.
But I would encourage, if people wanted to find a location near them, they could visit our website at sdvoice.info. We have newsstands, and then we have over-the-counter locations as well, like markets and 7-Eleven.
Very good. Well, as your story shows, surviving and walking away from domestic abuse can be very difficult and very challenging, especially if the man has the economic power, if you're isolated from family, if there are children, and then you have, you know, new worries about what's going to happen to the kids.
Right.
What advice would you give if there's somebody out there listening to the show right now who's in a situation like you were in? What would you tell them?
I would just tell that person that there is help. Don't allow your fears and insecurities to stop you from taking advantage of the help and services that are available. The YWCA has some great programs. They are not a judgmental group. People that are on the other end of helping victims of domestic violence are not judgmental. They are there with open arms to make sure that you are a whole person. They meet the needs of the whole person. And so even if you have children or you need a place to live, you're looking for employment, I would just say open your mouth and say something. The first step is getting out of that situation, and don't wait for it to change to your own detriment. You know, I believe people can change, but if you're being impacted mentally, physically, emotionally, verbally in a negative way, your first concern is yourself. You're obligated to yourself.
Yeah, very good advice.
Yeah.
You have a hotline for people who may be seeking help that they can call right
now? Yes, absolutely. There is a 24-hour hotline available. That number is 619-234-3164. And again, that is a 24-hour hotline. And the YWCA of San Diego does have the same number on their website. It's ywcasandiego.org. And they also have additional resource information available.
Very good. And listeners, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking today with Chida Warren Darby. She is the managing editor and co-publisher of San Diego Voice and Viewpoint newspaper, but she's also a survivor of domestic violence, as you've heard, and she's going to be participating, as any of you can too, in the YWCA's Walk a Mile in Her Shoes event on October 14th here in San Diego. This is where they bring out the high heels.
Yes.
People walk a mile in high heels. Mm-hmm. Men do this.
And they do. It's
so
great.
So, men, here's your challenge. Get your team together and come on out and walk a mile your shoes.
Yes. And the money raised goes towards a great cause. It supports the programming of the YWCA and the many victims, the men and women that are victims of domestic violence, that can go there and get the help that they need.
Yeah, we should mention, certainly, that it can happen to both men and women.
Yes.
It can happen in same-sex relationships.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
So what kind of services does the YWCA have to help victims of abuse?
Oh, they have a myriad of services. Like I said, they meet the need of the whole person. And so, you know, there's counseling available there. There's immediate housing available, childcare services, job placement. So they have a lot of things that they offer the victims so that they can not miss a beat, so
Very
to speak.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful to know.
Yes.
And again, listeners, if you want to participate in the YWCA's Walk a Mile in Her Shoes or be a sponsor or just come watch, you can get more information at the website, which is
www.ywcasandiego.org. The event is titled Walk a Mile in Her Shoes.
Very good. Chida, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Awesome.